Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
For you to not be the same, but to be changed, to walk out of here with new insight, new growth, so that we can bear fruit for you and give you glory. So help us in that. Help me speak, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've titled this message, in case you weren't aware, Ignorance Does Not Equal Spiritual Virtue. And, you know, the problem that I see, one of the problems, I should say, not the problem, right? But one of the problems I see in the church today is that a lot of churches have an anti-intellectual bias, right? You know, they prefer an emotional or spiritual experience rather than, you know, doctrine and the Word of God. And I was thinking about this, and you know how this sometimes troubles me. And I remember this one time I used to go to a youth group. You know, this rich guy had a big house, and he brought the youth over. It was beautiful. He was an awesome guy, and he's my brother in Christ, right? But I remember one time he rebuked me because I was quoting the Bible too much, right? And he said something to the effect of, you know, that he'd rather have the Holy Spirit than the Bible. And I was thinking about that, and I've always thought about that. I'm like, you know, what do you mean by that? And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? I mean, he was a great guy, right? You know, and sometimes we say things that, you know, aren't so good. So I'm not trying to put him on blast. But I was thinking about that, and I was like, well, you know what? In one sense, that's an okay statement. Because wouldn't you rather have the author, right, than the book? Makes sense, right? But when I really started to look, I guess, behind what he was saying, it's not really what he was saying, but it's why he was saying it. Because many of these people attend churches that de-emphasize the preaching of the written Word of God for what they claim is the spoken Word of God. What they want, you know, is something exciting, something novel. And they're bored by the Word of God. They find it tedious. It's not palatable to them. And I've been to churches like this, and I'm kind of a weird guy, you know. I was saved when I was 13, and I just really like the church. Even if I go to a church that's not got it all on lockdown, okay, I like the church. You know, I would visit churches like, you know, that really emphasized the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, and, you know, would preach for like 5 minutes if they preached at all, you know, and I liked it. It was fun. Okay, it was great to be around, you know, people who are seeking God, you know, so earnestly. And it's not like, you know, when I say this, that, you know, these aren't our brothers, or that, you know, they're wholly lost, or, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to say that. Okay, but it's troubling enough to me that I wanted to address it. But I wanted you guys to keep in mind that I don't have an axe to grind with, you know, any sort of, you know, group out there. And oftentimes the people who have this mindset that we're going to discuss are our brothers and sisters in Christ. It just kind of twisted a little bit. And I just don't want, you know, my friends and my family here at Faith and Victory Church to have it twisted either. Not that I think you guys do. I don't. But this is sort of proactive, you know, just in case, right? All right. And, you know, when you have these churches that are like all about, you know, loud music, and, you know, you've got like 4 hours of people being slain in the Spirit, you know, and, you know, people shaken and, you know, craziness all over, you know, it's, you know, really all of that was a reaction to a church environment that downplayed the supernatural. for a long time. Like in this country and in Europe and all of Western civilization, the supernatural was downplayed. The world was going full-on secular. You had things like the Enlightenment, you know, the birth of naturalism and Darwinianism, right? And you know, liberal theologies and biblical criticism entered the seminaries, right? And you know, just the preaching became stale. And, it, you know, there wasn't a lot of truth preached, and the supernatural was de-emphasized. So this was sort of a reaction to, you know, the routine of coming to church, having the ceremony, the preaching of the word, and then just going home, but there never being, you know, an encounter or an experience with God, you know. And people were hungry, people were thirsty for an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and this movement, you know, these movements, you know, happened as a result of that. But one of the things that I've noticed in them is that they really seem to find, and they would never put it in this terms, but this is how I interpret it, is that they really see ignorance of the Word of God as some kind of spiritual virtue. They see, turning off your noggin, okay, and critical, you know, reasoning, you know, and just accepting whatever, you know, putting the brain, you know, just leaving it at the door when you walk in, and then come in and be ready to accept anything, you know, that's considered a spiritual virtue. You know, not a lot of this is based on what they see in Scripture too. So it's not like, you know, these guys aren't ever reading the Bible, but you know, they read things like in Acts 4:13, where it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." So these guys are like, hey, check out the apostles. The apostles were like fishermen. They didn't go to seminary. They didn't get formal training. So why should we? We don't need to study the Bible, right? We just need the Holy Spirit. They got the Holy Spirit and they were awesome. So that's all we need. In 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." So they look at verses like this, and they're like, I don't need anybody to teach me. You know, I just need to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the primary thing. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come," this is John 16:13, "he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak not of his own authority, but wherever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of the things to come." So the concept that if the Holy Spirit teaches us all things, leads us into truth, and delights in using ignorant and unlearned men, then why unnecessarily put yourself through the rigors of mental and intellectual discipline? Why? What's the point? And, you know, they see these things and, you know, they say, you know, many jokes that we've heard, like, oh, seminaries are cemeteries. Diplomas are diplomas. PhDs are piled high and deep. You know, things like that. Okay. You know, just, and sometimes I'm, you know, and look, there's plenty of criticism that we can give to, you know, learning institutions. But, you know, sometimes I'm puzzled by that, you know, when I see a young man who wants to serve Almighty God, and he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give 6 years of my life an intense study of God's word so that I can be useful to the body. And the people are like, don't do that. That's not spiritual. That's not of God, man. Don't do that. You'll go there. You'll die. Right? I'm like, what? Okay. And the problem is, too, is that we sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are a lot of churches out there that are messed up. Does that mean you shouldn't go to church? Just because there are schools out there that are messed up doesn't mean you shouldn't go to school and study God's word. There's plenty of schools out there that teach God's word and love God's word. So, you know, I'm going to open up here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This was a big one, so I didn't want to print it on my notes. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, not 2 Corinthians. All right. It says in 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, but not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved is the power of God." Okay. And then if we just go down a couple more verses, it says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty." And then here in chapter 2 it says, "And brethren, when I came to you, I did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to do anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So they look at a verse like this and they say, well, you know, it's about the Spirit. That's where true conversion happens, right? You know, so the Bible is de-emphasized, and they're like, hey, you know, if we go out and we pray for the sick and they're healed and there's signs and wonders, right, then we can say, hey, come to our church and believe in Jesus. And then it's good. And then it's not completely wrong. It's not like what they're saying is completely wrong, but we'll get to my issue with that here in a bit. So there, you know, and also in 1 Corinthians it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The mind is seen as an instrument of the flesh by these groups, right? Faith trumps reason, and thinking needs to be suspended in order to accept all God has for you, right? That's what they see in the Scripture. And anybody who emphasizes doctrine or theology is seen as a modern-day Pharisee. You know, the charismatic expression is seen as the newness of the Spirit, whereas the study of doctrine and theology is seen as the oldness of the letter. One is alive and one is dead. Theologians and Bible teachers are seen as modern-day Pharisees, right? Like I said, who preach a type of law. So why did we go through all this? And, you know, I wanted to just... Well, this is okay. So, because there are really... There we go. Because there are two extremes that need to be addressed here. Okay. They are, like I said, they're right in many ways, but they're also wrong. Okay. They emphasize certain scriptures at the expense of others. And, you know, like we saw before, you know, there's certainly the churches that, you know, even today, you know, they go there and, you know, they're arguing about, you know, the Nephilim in Genesis or whatever. There's some obscure passage and, you know, and they're dividing over it, right? Or they're fighting over it. Or I think Jesus is coming back a month later than you do. You know, we can't fellowship. We couldn't possibly be in the same church and love each other because you think Jesus is coming back a different day than I do. You know, so there's an imbalance there. But what they you know, when they look at these scriptures, what they fail to see, right, is that although the mind, you know, is associated with the flesh, there's two types of minds. There's the carnal mind or the worldly mind, and there's the spiritual mind or the mind of Christ. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." In 1 Corinthians 2:16 it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So just like there's two minds, there's two types of wisdom. There's worldly wisdom, which we see in 1 Corinthians 1, like we were looking at. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." And then in 1 Corinthians 3:19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness." So there's different types of wisdom. Then, there, of course, there's godly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. So this is just right after. Paul says, I didn't come to you with persuasive words, with the wisdom of man, you know, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. But immediately after that, he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now James 3:14 says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And you know, the main scripture that I have here, and I probably should have read it by now, I'm sorry guys, but, you know, was in Proverbs. Have any of you guys read Proverbs? There's something about that book that just says, don't be dumb. Right? Doesn't it say that? It says it over and over and over again. So when I look at that, you know, I'm pretty convinced that God doesn't want us to be ignorant and that it's not a spiritual virtue. It says here, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Then they will call on me, this is verse 28, then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, for they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. And sometimes, like, I think that this idea that, oh, well, you know, I just need to be in relationship with God. You know, it's a relationship. It's not religion. And, you know, it's about, you know, being in communion with the living God. You know, just the things that I hear people say, you know. And, you know, the emphasis being placed so much, and I'm not trying to speak against the Holy Spirit, absolutely not, right? I mean, it's important. But the thing is that the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit, yeah. Right? Yeah. So it's kind of odd that people who are seeking to be close to the Holy Spirit are like, well, you know, we're not going to read the words of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I find that odd. And, you know, when the scripture says that thy word, you know, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, I feel like if we just wholly abandon the word of God, that really we're blind. Yeah. Yeah. We're just blind. And I feel like, okay, undermining the scripture is like cutting off your own leg. As I was thinking about this, I was like, really, what's the problem here? There's two legs that we need to be standing on. You know, there's the word of God and there's the Holy Spirit. But it's like one group is like, we're so scared of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural, I'm just going to cut that leg off, okay? And then the other group is like, oh, man, we're so tired of reading that same textbook over and over again. It's so tedious. I can't believe it. And they're like, boom, off. You know, and look, you can run a race maimed, but you're not going to be as fast as somebody with two legs, okay? You're not going to be as effective. And I think that some of these churches are effective, you know, but it's not God's best. There's two things that we need. 2 Timothy 3:14 says this. This is Paul writing to his, replacement. I don't know, like his student, you know, whatever. And he's going to be a pastor. And he says to them, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. And this is very interesting what it says next. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what's the implication here? The implication is that, one, the Scripture is from God. Well, that's not even an implication. It's just directly said. The Scripture is from God. And if it's profitable for all of these things, okay, if you're not engaged with the Scripture at all, okay, then you're not going to be profitable in these areas. And also, right, it says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the implication is, if you're not in God's word, you are not equipped for the work that God has for you. Your witness is inhibited. And you know, the teaching on in some churches is that, you know, the Holy Spirit is who empowers us for ministry. And it's true, right? He gives us gifts, teaching gifts, tongues, prophecy, all those things. I don't deny that. He gives us all those things, right? And those are so we can edify the body, right? And so that we can witness to non-believers. But the Bible is saying that it's both and, right? It's not either or. Another problem with the mentality that I see, you know, in some churches is that experience can be deceptive. There's a story, you know, that I have. I was at one of these churches that really likes to get wild. And I remember that I went into the back and I was like, man, I just need prayer. And they had prayer stations set up throughout the the sanctuary. And I went and they busted open some frankincense and myrrh. Have you guys ever smelt frankincense and myrrh? It's fragrant. And you know what? It's strong, but it's not overpowering. It's really actually a pretty cool smell. And they anointed my head. You know, it was basically olive oil with these spices put in it. And they anointed my head and they prayed for me. I forget what it was for. You know, and then we went back to worshiping. And then after that, I'm like, I want to go to the altar, right? So I go to the altar and I pray. And then we're worshiping, you know, and I'm praying at the altar. And the pastor gets up and he gets at the podium and he goes, I can just smell the presence of the Lord in this place. And I was right below him. And it was my head anointed with frankincense and myrrh, right? And what he thought was a supernatural manifestation of God through his nose actually just turned out to be me with oil on my head right below him, right? And so, you know, experiences can be deceptive. And not all experience, you know, comes from the same place, too. You know, my dad, I don't know if you, most of my life, my dad was an atheist. But, you know, when he finally remarried a couple times, you know, he got married to a gal from Indonesia. And if you guys don't know, Indonesia is the biggest Islamic country in the world. And when he got married, you know, he converted. And it wasn't immediate. I mean, he went years living with her, you know, but it was really odd to me because he was really against, you know, Christianity, faith. That was all stupid. It was ignorant, you know, but when he went to Indonesia, right, he had this conversion to Islam, you know, and of course, you know, my stepmother is Islamic too, and her family. And, you know, my dad, he said that one of the things that convinced him that Islam was true, right, is that he saw stuff. I mean, I don't even want to, it's silly. I mean, I'm sorry, right? It's, but he saw stuff, right, when he was praying in the mosque. He saw, like, what he thought were jinn or spirits or whatever they call them, right, you know, and he thought that it was a sign that Islam was true, right? So he's like, I'm going to accept that. And I'm like, Dad, you know, just because you saw something doesn't mean that's true, okay? Because there's a devil out there, right? There's, you know, there's demons, right? There's just, you were also in another country, you know? Maybe you got, like, bit by a spider that has a type of poison that isn't here in the States, you know, and you're tripping, or maybe somebody put something in your food. I don't know, right? There could be all kinds of things that could happen. And, you know, something that, we need to be clear about is that the spoken word does not trump the written revelation of God. The spoken word does not trump the written revelation of God. I feel like going like this when I do it. Does not trump. Okay, sorry. Right. But unfortunately, in many of these places, the spoken word is given supremacy over God's word. They're like, oh, God is just, he's pouring new wine into new wineskins. Or he's doing something new. He's doing a new thing, right? And, you know, I had a pastor who said, if it's new, it isn't true, right? I mean, and I think I kind of agree with that, you know, because if you look at Jesus, even preaching to the Pharisees, a lot of you guys are reading, you know, Jesus, and you're like, man, he's the smartest guy I've ever lived. And of course he was, right? Absolutely. But you know that a lot of his sermons he was preaching out of the Old Testament, you know, the Old Testament that that was accusatory, right? That we, right, ignore oftentimes. You know, but you go and he's actually just preaching what the prophets preached for generations, for hundreds of years, what Moses preached, you know, and he's just reminding the Jews who are corrupting his word because the Pharisees of the day added to God's word and the Sadducees removed from God's word, right? And nobody was just keeping faithful to the word of God, right? And he's like, here's the word of God. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Amen. Okay? Because you're lost without the Holy Spirit. Okay? You're absolutely lost. Do not despise prophecies. Amen. Okay? I don't ever want to be in a church that won't let people speak, you know, when they think they've heard something from God. But it says, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. But what's interesting is that in a lot of these churches, because, you know, they're like, man, you just got to accept it on faith, man. You just got to accept it on faith. You know, God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. You know, don't let your mind get in the way of what God's doing. You know, but it says to test all things and hold fast to what is good. But how can you test whether or not these things are of God unless you're aware of what God's word says? I've seen some weird stuff, okay? This one time I saw this guy hop on the stage and this guy's like, man, I've got stomach cancer. Pray for me. And he's in tears, right? And you just feel bad for this guy. And then this guy literally kicks him in the stomach as hard as he can. And the guy flies across the stage. And he's like, God told me to do that, sir. You know? And I'm like, I'm not sure I see that in the Word of God. I'm not sure that Jesus was like, okay, come here. Boom! You're healed, right? I mean, that seems pretty silly to me, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's probably not impossible. I mean, obviously God can heal people through, you know, beating them up, okay? But I mean, to me, it's almost like a joke is being made of somebody coming up and praying for healing, for something that's real, for something that's legitimate. A mockery is being made because somebody wants to be a showman, right, instead of be genuine. And later it turns out that this guy is getting paid ridiculous amounts of money and is an adulterer, you know, and it's like, and what's interesting about that is the scripture consistently says that a false teacher is marked by his covetousness, right, and having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin. If you want to know if somebody's a false teacher, turn on the TV and just be like, how much are they talking about money? How much, like, oh, I just... there's some lady out there who, I know you just got your Social Security check-in, but remember the widow and the two mites, okay? Right, you just plant this seed offering, right, and God will return it to you 100-fold, you know? And I'm like, dude, if it worked like that, why don't you just empty your bank account right now, give it to some missionary, and God will give you 100 times that back. And then you can do it again and again and again, because 100-fold, okay, profit, like, that's a sure thing, okay? But, you know, they expect us to live in that kind of faith and operate in that kind of faith, but they don't operate in that kind of faith themselves. It's because they're covetous and they love mammon. But God says you cannot serve both God and mammon. But they do. They love the money. And what's amusing is that when they call us who love God's word Pharisees, really, what were the Pharisees like? They were adding to God's word.
Yeah.
Adding to God's word through oral tradition.
Yeah.
Okay? Really? Okay. And they loved money. They loved the best seats in the synagogue. They loved the praise. They loved the bling. They loved all of the people hanging out, the bodyguards, the pizzazz, okay, the fanfare. They love it. And I'm like, that resembles a Pharisee more than I believe somebody who's trying to be faithful to the Word of God. I think somebody who's preaching the Word of God with all of his heart and trying his best has more of the Spirit of God than you do. Just because, you know, you... Just because there's you feel emotion because and look, man, you know, I'm not one of these guys who thinks it's all in the head. It's not. God speaks to our hearts, okay? He touches here. Sometimes he needs to get past this, okay? And he needs to work here, okay? Because this is a barrier. I mean, so I believe our emotions can lead us to God sometimes, right? And I think our minds can lead us to God. But again, it's balance, right? It's both of these things. It's not saying, no, right? This will be shut off perpetually, right? And I'm just going to receive whatever's said, no matter what. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You know, and Amanda, you know, my wife, right there, that's my wife, everybody, Amanda, right? And, you know, she was raised in a cult, Armstrong, right? The Worldwide Church of God, Armstrongism, right? And it was a law cult, right? And she had no idea how to be saved, right? Because it was all like, we thank you, God, that you are saved by your commandments, right? It wasn't about belief in Jesus Christ, right? It was about basically following the Old Testament, right? And so she moves down to L.A., right? And she gets hooked up into a church that's very charismatic, right? And I mean, they just assume that she's a Christian because nobody's preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
Nobody's up there. They're like 5-minute sermons. And sometimes they'll come up and, you know, the sermon will be 25 minutes of somebody speaking in tongues. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, 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 for 25 minutes. No interpretation. And then going and sitting down. But if they would have read the word of God, they would have found out that's against God's word.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they thought they were being super spiritual, right? And that's the thing, you know, they think that, you know, oh, you know, if I'm just willing to not think, right, and be you know, startling or random or whatever, then I have more faith than the next person. And that, of course, is more spiritual. But, you know, the truth is that ignoring the word of God is childish. Hebrews 5:12 says, "For by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." If you don't love God's word, that's a sign of carnality. We talked about this last time I was here. Are you bored by God's word? Is it tedious? Oh, man. Oh, there's just, oh, I've read this all before. I can't believe it. Oh, I guess I'll read a psalm. What's the shortest one there is? Right. You know, just so you can check the box, right? Yeah, I read my Bible, right? But you know what's funny is that, you know, I think of myself, and I struggle with it too, right? This is not me, you know, casting blame on you guys. But, you know, I think of the things I'm interested in, things like Star Wars. Sorry, I'm a nerd. It's just the truth. And I'm like, man, I will sit down and I will watch, like, fan-made videos of Star Wars on YouTube for, like, hours. Like, memorizing deep lore from the universe, you know, and, like, where did the first Jedi come from, right? And how did the Empire become the First Order and, you know, all this stuff, all this. And it's fiction. It's a lie. And I'm memorizing all of this junk about a lie. And it's fun for me. I'm like, yeah, more. 4 hours? What? You know? But I can't crack my Bible open for 5 minutes. Okay? That's carnal. Right? That's carnal. I mean, and if you want something that's a little bit more manly, you know, think about somebody's like, oh, I can't memorize a scripture. I couldn't possibly memorize a scripture. My brain is not built for that. Right? I can't do it. But then they've got like 50,000 sports statistics memorized, you know, and they're like, oh, he just did this play and that play, and oh, he's going to do this and that, and oh my goodness, you know. And it's like, you know, when you love something, it no longer becomes a chore to learn about it. And the thing is that, you know, if we love God, right, we want to know everything about spiritual matters. You know, and we won't be sitting here rolling our eyes when we're sitting in Bible college and they're like, geography of the Holy Lands? Oh my goodness. How is that relevant? Well, you know, when I took that class in Bible college, I'm like, this totally opened my understanding of the Old Testament like no other class. I understand things about the Old Testament that I didn't understand before that made absolutely no sense because I took a geography of the Holy Lands class, right? I mean, you could say, or you know, church history or something, all these things, people are like, oh, well, if you really want to be spiritual, you know, study God's word. And that's absolutely true, right? To draw the Star Wars parallel again, the Bible's canon, okay? But if you really like Star Wars, if you're really into it, it doesn't mean you don't watch, you know, fan-made theories, you know, and, you know, check out some of the side stuff or read some of the books. Anyway, I'm sounding like a super dork right now, but you know, it's like, if the things of the Spirit and the church and, you know, God, if they interest you, I mean, check it out. It's not, you know, and of course you have to, like we've been saying, you have to test everything, okay? Because you're going to pick up a Christian book and be like, ooh, it's a bestseller. Let's read this sucker and be like, this doesn't sound right. You know, good, okay? Weigh it against Scripture. But the thing is that some people, because they're so scared, once again, of, you know, all of the false teachers out there, they're like, I'm just going to read the Word of God. I'm not going to listen to any preachers. I'm not going to read any books, nothing. It's just the Word of God. And look, that's fine, right? If you want to live there, that can sustain you, right? No problem. Okay, but I believe that God gave gifts to the body for a reason. He gave people wisdom. He gave people knowledge. Okay, he gave them messages, right, for the church. And I don't think it's wise to ignore that, right? I think it's, you know, I'm going to come here and I'm going to listen to Pastor Matt, you know? And I mean, you know, I look at this church and to be really frank, I mean, like, this is the most balanced church that I think I've ever been in. I've been in churches that are like, man, it's hard doctrine and theology, and every time we're there, and there's almost no application, right? And it was fun for me. I was into it, right? And I've been to churches that were like all Holy Spirit, 5-minute sermons, right, and craziness, and I liked it. It was fine, right? But what's amazing about this church is that the pastors here, both Pastor Matt and Crystal, they're really balanced, right? They're really balanced spiritual leaders. And we're blessed to sit under them because, you know, they're not quenching the Spirit of God and they're, you know, encouraging you to be connected to the Spirit of God, but at the same time, they're not forsaking the Word of God. And that's an important place to be. You know, I think that, you know, too, when you just immerse yourself in the Word of God, you know, you're going to start to sound like God. Okay. You're going to come up and be like, oh, you know, I have a notion and I think God's telling me to say something. Well, you know, I think that maybe God just wants you to divorce that person, you know, because I mean, people say that, like, here's a word from the Lord. I think it's just time to cut ties, you know, with that person, you know, but that's not the Word of God, right? But if you are reading the Word of God, you're like, I hate divorce, right? We need to forgive, right? He's a God of reconciliation and so on and so forth, right? But, you know, if you're like Pastor Crystal, right, you know, who gives words from the Lord up here. You know, she sounds like the Scripture because she reads the Scripture all the time, right? She's not cutting off one of her legs, you know? I believe that God wants you to be smart in Him, right? In spiritual matters, right? He wants you to be ignorant about something. He's like my son, you know? I want my son to do so well in school, but he just hates school. He hates it. He's like, I want to play. He wants to remain a child, right? But I want him to be smart. I want him to grow. I'm like, dude, do you want to grow up to be an idiot, right? Do you want to not know anything, right? Which is, I know, I'm hard line, right? I'm sorry, but I'm trying. He's my first, right? Probably messing up a lot. But, you know, I'm like, dude, you have to do school, right? You can't just get up whenever you want. None of the other kids are getting up out of the classroom. He's like, dude, I'm out of here, right? You know, and I'm going to go check this out in my bedroom or whatever, you know, and, you know, it's just, that's not what God wants for us either. You know, like, we want our children to be smart, And, you know, he wants us to be smart, you know, in the things that he wants us to be smart. But there's things I don't want my son to be an idiot in. Like, I don't want him to know about some of the dirtiness that's in the world. I want him to be completely ignorant of those things. So Proverbs 4:5 says this, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Her, just, you know, they're personifying wisdom here, right, as a literary device. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. But he, yeah, that's the end of that. Sorry, I was reading that verse. Check that out. I mean, isn't that amazing? But there's people like, nah, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Matthew 4:4 says this, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I was thinking about this, and I was like, you know, a reoccurring symbol that we see in Scripture all of the time for the word of God is food. Okay, some type of food, meat, bread, milk, you know, something like that, okay? But oftentimes, a symbol for the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying every time, you know, is water, like the former and the latter rain, okay, you know, founts of living water, you know, springing up from your belly, okay? Like, there's other symbols for the Holy Spirit too, okay? But oftentimes, okay, you can see these symbols laid out in Scripture. And I was thinking about this, and I was like, well, what happens to somebody if they say, you know what, I'm going to go on a fast. I'm just going to eat food from now on, and no more water. No more water. What's going to happen? Dude's going to die. You know, he constipated, right? And, you know, he's going to die, right? But, you know, and then, but if somebody's like, I'm just going to drink water, right? I'm not going to eat any food forever. He's going to die, right? So here's the thing, right? If you want to be spiritually healthy, okay, you need two legs to stand on, okay? You need to live by God's word, okay? But you also need to live by the Spirit. Both. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the vision of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of heart. Ephesians 1:17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory and his inheritance in the saints. So this is Paul praying for the saints. And he's like, you know what my prayer for you is? My prayer is that you may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes, you know, may gain understanding, that they may be enlightened, right? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Like, you know, they don't want you to be ignorant, right? They want you to be, you know, brainless. You guys receive that? Right. Yeah. You know, on that note, you know, just let me close with this, right? You know, I think that oftentimes we, you know, when it comes to spiritual matters, you know, we're pretty critical, you know, of people, unfortunately, you know, who want to, you know, devote their lives to studying the word of God. We're like, oh, he's a theologian. We instantly have like, oh, well, what type of theologian are you? You know, we automatically have sort of, you know, like, ooh, feelings. You know, when we meet somebody else who's educated or spent a lot of time studying, you know, we're pretty impressed. We're like, oh, you're a scientist? You know, that's really amazing. But for some reason, that's to be more esteemed in our eyes, you know, than somebody saying, I'm going to devote my life to studying the mysteries of God's word. Kind of sad to me. You know, I think about like what, you know, I'm going to college right now, you know, studying IT, and I think, you know, man, God must really be jealous of colleges. Because if you think of what we do there, we're like, okay, here's my laptop or here's my pen and paper. I'm going to sit and like jot down everything you're saying. Oh, you know, or, oh, no, can you go back? You know, I need to get that slide again, you know. And we're emptying our pockets and we're just throwing money at these schools, right? We're giving them money we don't even have. We're like, yeah, take the bank's money, right? Let me go to school, right? And we go home and we're, and our eyes are bloodshot because we're up until like 4:30 in the morning, you know, doing school and cramming for tests. And it's like, but we do nothing like that for God. Nothing like that for God. Right? Oh, they want me to put money in the tithe bucket? Oh, right? But we're willing to go, you know, $40, $60, $70, $100,000 in debt to go to school, you know. But we don't want to put $5 in the offering plate because something's wrong with our heart, okay? You know, we'll go and we'll read some, you know, 700 or 800 page textbook about Windows servers, which is so boring, right? But we're like, and we'll muddle through that somehow, okay? But we won't open the scriptures and read the scriptures, okay? We'll be up late into the night cramming for a test, but we won't memorize one scripture in 5 years. Okay? Think about that. So let's repent, man. You know, I mean, if that's us, right? It might not be us, right? But let's just be aware, right? That we need to hold God's word in esteem. You think about the Jews, and the Jews got a lot of things wrong, okay? But one of the things they did is they had a reverence for God's word. Man, they take the Torah scroll and they like kiss it and they like hug it, right? And they've got like tears in their eyes, right? And they've got like boxes with scripture in it, right? And they've wrapped their arms and they've got like scriptures in it and they've got scriptures posted on their doorpost and they kiss it when they enter, right? You know, and I mean, you look at like people, like we hold God's word in such disdain, but there's people who don't even have God's word who are Christians who like what they do is they rip out a couple pages of a hymnal and they pass it around an entire church and that's their spiritual food. Right? And then they crave it. They're like, oh, yeah, it's my turn to have these pages. Yes. And then some missionary comes and gives them a Bible and they're weeping profusely, praising God that they have the word, you know. But we're like, oh, you know, man, you're just a Pharisee, man. You're just a legalist, right? Because, you know, that's the deadness of the letter, man. You need the life of the Spirit, you know. And I think that's not a wise or a godly attitude. You know, when sometimes my son doesn't want to, and this is the last thing, right? I'm sorry, Pastor Matt's like, dude, you're over, right? But, you know, when sometimes my son or my children, you know, I'm mainly talking about Elam now. It's always Preston, but it's Elam this time, all right? He's the pickiest kid I've ever seen, pickiest. I mean, it doesn't even matter what we make it be like, gourmet stuff, right? And if we put it in front of him, he doesn't want to try it. Doesn't even want to try it. And then, you know, you finally like, dude, take a bite. I'm getting serious. And then he's like, and he's always got this. And then you give him the bite, and he's like, and he hasn't even tasted it. It's hardly even gone in his mouth, not even off the spoon, right? And he's already heaving, you know, because he has such a bad attitude. He has so little trust for us, you know, and what we're going to feed him, right? And there's part of me that's just like, dude, if for the next 3 days I didn't feed you, you would eat anything that I gave you, right? You know? And if you think about it, I think that that's oftentimes, you know, what these people are so desperate for the word of God are overseas, man. They've been starving. They are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, right? For the spiritual food, right, that is available to us. We've probably got like 5 Bibles on our bookshelf, you know, and they all have dust on them, right? And, you know, but they're just like, God, please just give me your word, please. Heavenly Father. So can we Christians just remember that the Holy Spirit, right, is so necessary. Like you cannot walk in victory without the Holy Spirit, right? You cannot, period. But you also cannot walk in victory without the Holy Bible, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters. God, I pray that they would receive this word and that maybe, God, we would just go home and read our Bibles and care a little bit more about what you have to say, Lord, and put it in our hearts so that we can't sin, so we won't sin against you, you know, so that, you know, we can cleanse our way, you know, just by knowing what you're saying. Help us. And, you know, in Jesus' name. Before we close, I just want to ask, you know, I mean, is there anybody out there who doesn't know Jesus Christ and wants to become a Christian? I mean, if you do, I mean, please raise your hand and we'll pray for you. It can be now. Don't remain an enemy of God. Don't remain cut off. Is there anybody? All right. That's cool. All right. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.